investigating the crash, defending the president. I'm Christopher Cruz. Federal aviation safety investigators are in Calabasas, California this morning. They're trying to learn why a helicopter carrying retired NBA star Kobe Bryant and eight others crashed and burned yesterday morning. Bryant died, along with his 13-year-old daughter and seven others. Correspondent Jim Roop reports the chopper went down in conditions so foggy that police choppers were grounded.
It seems towers were helping the pilot find the path that provided the best visibility to their destination.
2 Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time.
And speculation is that may be the reason for the crash. The NTSB and FAA are both investigating.
It could be days before all of the bodies are recovered. President Trump's lawyers to continue their defense of their client against two articles of impeachment this afternoon in the Senate. This morning, a new wrinkle in the case. The New York Times reporting that former National Security Advisor John Bolton has written in a forthcoming book that the president told him he wanted to withhold military aid from Ukraine until it agreed to investigate his Democratic rivals. Lead House Impeachment Manager and Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff this morning said the Senate must now call Bolton as a witness.
He's offered to testify now. We're ready to hear his testimony. We'll be pushing again for his testimony, and I think all the senators are now really hard-pressed to turn him away.
China has again increased its efforts to contain the spread of the coronavirus. Correspondent David Culver in Beijing says discoveries about the virus show how hard it is to contain.
Chinese health officials coming out with what is a significant warning as to the possible transmission of this coronavirus. They suggest that within the incubation period, which is between 1 and 14 days, that somebody who has been exposed to the virus could potentially transmit it to another person in those 2 weeks' time.
The Dow is off about 400 points at this hour. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Most of us get a little grouchy if we happen to miss breakfast or lunch every now and then. But unfortunately, for many struggling families in our community, skipping meals is a regular occurrence. It doesn't have to be. Because when you give to the Salvation Army, you help your neighbors in need win the battle to keep food on the table. Want to join this fight for good? Please visit givewestwoodone.org. That's givewestwoodone.org to make a donation.
Enjoy a thrilling 1950s murder mystery dinner at Quachan Casino Resort. A Dance with Death. Friday, January 31st. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Show starts at 6:30 p.m. Arizona time. When a death on the dance floor makes this prom night foul, it's up to you to figure out who done it and get the dance back on track. Dinner show tickets are only $25 and are on sale now at playqcr.com or at the casino box office.
Be sure to listen Sunday afternoons from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasquet. It's everything you need to know about your home, from buying and selling. Brought to you by PhD. When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PhD 344-9111.
Your local one-hour air conditioning and heating knows how miserable it feels when your AC goes out. You want it fixed fast, fixed right, and get a fast quote. Unlike some companies, we don't give you a quote until we actually see what the problem is. Then we'll give you our straightforward price and always stand by our work. Free service call with completed repair. Call 928-783-4242.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1 hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. License 277-800.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
For today, sunny and 78, a north wind at 15 today, 52 overnight tonight. Sunny and 77 tomorrow, 50 tomorrow night, north wind at 10. Strong winds on Wednesday, sunny and 75, 55 Wednesday night, north wind at 15 to 20 on Wednesday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, Eldorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. Eldorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. I'm Cody Beeson. This is Life, Death, and the Law. Russ Clark, good morning. How
good
you
morning,
doing?
Sir. How are you, man? How's your weekend going?
It was good. No complaints. There's a lot happening, but, you know, let's
stick
on the positive.
At the Civic Center that was Scottish, they had but the dinner was sheep intestines. I ain't going.
Yeah.
I think they call it haggis or something. I don't know.
You know,
I didn't make it.
I'm fine with I'll stick it like chili pepper. I'm okay. I don't need to branch out that far.
I understand it went really well. But yeah. I didn't make it to that.
Good for them.
But there is a lot to do in Yuma.
Now is the time. Between now and May, there is multiple things happening every weekend.
Because we have so many winter visitors, the weather's so perfect.
The marathon was this past weekend. Yes. I guess that was a big success.
Did you run at all?
Oh, mercy no.
Well, no, question.
But that was another one of those big things happening. And then, obviously, we have the car show coming up soon.
Yep. Midnight Oasis.
Yeah. I see people gearing up for that.
You're starting to see them in town already getting tuned up.
I have some distant relatives that have participated in the car show. He used to work for Ford for a number of years. And long story short, they bring a car down every year.
Okay.
And they're getting ready to come back into town. So they'll stay for about 2 months.
Really?
Yeah, they come from Redding, California.
2 months. That's nice.
Yeah. So, it's that time of year.
Absolutely. You know, you have a boss that's in town.
Mr. Adam Hansen.
Adam
made
Hansen
it in the
made
studio.
It. That's nice.
Good luck. How's traffic?
It's typical.
Not a big deal in Yuma.
I took back roads. No, 32nd Street was ridiculous. I had to go through neighborhoods because...
This time of morning?
Yeah. Heading west.
Westbound on 32nd.
But that being said, I've also... I remember, heading east when I was over on the west part of town and I was coming to town, and it's just as bad right now. But this morning, heading to the station, it was congested.
Yeah, and I think it's just Monday. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of when I'm on 32nd, a lot of the traffic is these huge semis. You know, they're just moving a lot of stuff. Produce, they're moving.
Oh yeah.
Lots of stuff. It's a high traffic area, and then you've got the winter visitors that once they come into town, it the population just goes up, and obviously the traffic congestion is going to be there. So. Yeah, it's always an adventure.
We're still a better program than L.A. Sig Alerts.
That's right, yeah. I would go around L.A. to try and get to the destination because if you get anywhere close to L.A. and you're trying to get to the airport, for example, it's a non-starter. So I found a flight out of Imperial Valley
You find these amazing flights.
I don't know how. It was $50 to L.A. We had to go to a legal conference not too long ago, and I found online these $50 flights from a little podunk airport in Imperial Valley.
Imperial Valley Airport?
Yeah. No. Okay, so we had to... There's no... It's not like nothing like Sky Harbor, obviously, but you walk out onto the tarmac, and when we got on this plane, I think it could hold 15 people. It was a prop plane, a double prop plane, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? It was $50, and yeah, so we got on that, and like I was behind the pilot's chair, and there was a co-pilot's chair. And I was right behind the pilot, just watching him do his thing.
So you could see the gauges, make sure everything was working.
Yeah,
everything's
in
the
green. I acted like I knew what I was doing, sure. Yeah.
It's a converted crop duster. Yeah.
I'm like, you got to turn your blinker on right here, buddy. All right? I know how to fly.
Good.
Yeah, and so we made it safely, really. I mean, you're just going up over the mountain and landing in L.A. And but our conference was actually in Hollywood. And I've talked about this before because we went to the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not going to get into the politics of everything, but it was just something, hey, we're going to be in Hollywood. He's right across the street from where we were staying, so I happened to get tickets for that.
I would have gone.
Yeah, it's just fun, you know, say that you did it and sure. kind of thing. So anyway, I did not want to drive in the traffic, so I had I lined up. Once we got into LAX, we took trams from LAX all the way to Hollywood to where we were going to be staying because I just didn't want to deal with the traffic. I didn't want to do Uber because Uber's the same thing. You get in a car with somebody and you're going to be stuck in traffic to get all the way across L.A. And, so that was my experience with L.A. traffic. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners have been over there in that area when it's horrible to get anywhere in L.A. because the traffic's just so bad. So we can count our blessings here in Yuma, I guess we could say.
Hey, while we're talking about flying, a few shows ago, you know, this is after you went to Spain, you mentioned, hey, I found this great deal. Actually, Jessica found this amazing deal for tickets. It was flightsfromhome.com.
Something like that, yeah.
And so there's this one, like, website called flightsfromhome.com. That's what it was. And because I saw your ticket was posted. Not your ticket, but, like, your trip.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like, anyways, long story short, they go out of Vegas, Phoenix, and Salt Lake City. And you sign up on their email list, and they'll email you whenever they have good flights.
From that particular airport, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like Salt Lake City is the most active, but regardless, they have some really good deals.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled for that, and I just let my inbox do the work. So if I see a deal coming around and we have time or we can budget that time, then we might book it, maybe we won't. But it's not like I'm a traveler. I don't travel. That was a rare thing that we did. It was kind of on a whim, and it turned out to be really fun.
And it's some place you want to go. Like, sometimes some of these flights are like, you know, New Orleans, you know, like, if you don't have a reason to go there.
That's what my wife always says.
Well, who would want to go, not want to go?
Yeah,
been there, done that, you know?
Oh, you have? So
yeah.
And that came up the other day, New Orleans, and I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. And my wife's like, meh.
You like humidity?
I'm like, what are you talking about? New Orleans is so cool.
Maybe next month. Maybe, you know, Fat Tuesday.
New Orleans is always cool.
It's just like, it's a different culture. I mean,
oh, gosh,
you got all that French influence and things like that, and mixed with the Latin, it's just incredible. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never been there, but I like the opportunity. And, my wife's reaction is just, meh, you know.
Really?
And that's not the first time I've heard that. A lot of people I talk to, like Louisiana, you know, New Orleans.
I'll go with you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Let's go. Let's take your plane.
I'll take it, yeah.
Let's take your plane.
Well, buy me one.
Russ and I have gone back and forth. I'm trying to get him to teach me how to fly a plane and get the ins and outs of a plane. Not that I've ever done it before, but I have in my mind this dream that I want to fly, and my wife says absolutely not. And unfortunately, I hate to make jest of this, but there's a lot of people that we know or we've heard of in the news that go down in little planes like that. And so every time that happens, she says that's why you're not going to be flying.
And banana, you know, there's always that group that people fly because they want to get from point A to point B, and they don't really become pilots. You know, they get their certificate.
I get you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you'd become a pilot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I don't, but thank you. I love the confidence. So we don't have much time before our first break, but a lot of you, if you were listening over the break between Russ's last show and Life, Death, and the Law, you would have heard the news break of yesterday's news about Kobe Bryant. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we come back from this first break. We'll be right back after this.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The 2020 75th Annual Yuma JC's Silver Spur Rodeo presented by Rain for Rent is February 7th to the 9th. Friday's Man Up Crusade Purple Day for Domestic Violence Awareness and Senior Day. Saturday is Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 2, performances at 4. Sunday is Military Appreciation Day and Ram Rodeo Day. Gates open at noon, performances at 2. Sponsored in part by KSWT, Life Care Center of Yuma, APS, Coors, Kenyon Distributing, Del Outdoor, Cocopa Casino, and KTTI.
Listen to 560 KBLU every Friday morning from 8 to 9 for Money Talk. Money Talk, bringing you the latest information and changes in the world of finances, brought to you by the partnerships of Academy Mortgage and Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. That's Money Talk every Friday morning from 8 to 9 on 560 KBLU.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living. And with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hireme now at edbroadcasters.com. That's hireme now at edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with Russ Clark and Cody running the computers. Russ is on the board, making sure that we sound the best that we can. He's doing his hardest. I mean, I can see him just sweating over the board over there.
Bullets.
Yeah, sweating bullets. Before the break, I made mention of the breaking news yesterday afternoon. It was when I heard it. My wife came in and she said, "Hey, there's a helicopter crash. Guess who was on it?" And I don't know, you know. She said Kobe Bryant, and I was just dumbfounded. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean,
it's a horrible game.
Yeah. And so, if you're aware of what happened yesterday, Kobe Bryant was flying to a practice apparently, and he used to do this all the time. He was retired, but he has charities that he frequented, and so. He was flying to a practice, is the allegation, and when he was flying, the helicopter went down. On the way in, when I was driving, I was listening to Russ's show over the radio, and the news break talked a little bit more about how the authorities are looking into the cause of that particular crash. They said yesterday morning it was particularly really foggy, and even the police choppers were down. They weren't allowed to get out and up because of the fogginess, and so... They've got audio from the tower. They played that audio over the break where they said, "Hey, you're too low. You got to get up. You got to get up." So, lo and behold, the helicopter crashed, and I think 8 other people died in that crash as well. And Kobe was This isn't the first time he flew it. This was his personal helicopter. He went back in his playing days. He would take this thing all the time to get from his house about an hour and a half. You know, if you're taking a car, it was about an hour and a half. But really, by flying, it's
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
That's 10 minutes. That's how you beat LA traffic.
Exactly. And so he was well known for taking his personal helicopter from his house to the Staples Center to play in a game. But he retired back in 2016, and so he hasn't been playing many games since then because he retired, but he has been playing in charity events and things like that, and he has a lot of different business entities that he had since been involved in. Over his career, he allegedly made $680 million, and that came in two different forms. So one of that, about half of that, came from his playing contracts with the Lakers. He was drafted very early on, and a lot of you remember that he skipped the whole college scene. He went straight from high school into the NBA, and he was this young hotshot kid. I remember not too long ago, probably about 6 months ago, I was just cruising on YouTube, and I ran into this clip. Well, it wasn't a clip. It was a compilation of different clips between Kobe Bryant and what I consider to be the legend of all time, Michael Jordan. And I hadn't realized, because I was young at the time, I hadn't realized that they'd crossed paths so many times during Kobe's early years. But in fact, I mean, when Kobe was in the NBA, Michael Jordan was in about to leave some of his prime years. He still won championships and stuff at the end, but he coincided with Kobe a little bit, and it was fun to watch those clips. And I still felt like, as I watched those YouTube clips of these old one-on-one duels between Michael Jordan and Kobe, the young Kobe, the new kid bringing in the new guard, and then you had Michael Jordan on his way out. Michael schooled him every time. It was awesome to watch because you had this cocky young kid coming in, and you had Michael Jordan, you know, and just the finesse and all that. But obviously Kobe owed a lot to Michael because of his playing style. He even mentioned that in interviews over his career where he talked about he would constantly watch Michael Jordan's film and mimic his movements. And if you watch Kobe, a lot of his movements look like Michael Jordan. When he was younger, I thought he looked a lot like Michael Jordan and his finesse and the way that he did different things. But obviously, he had his own style as well. But he did look a lot like Michael Jordan. He owed a lot to Michael. And so this news coming yesterday that he passed away, I mean, it was just a shocker to me. In my eyes, he was always kind of like the villain because he was always a Laker. He originally was drafted into the NBA by the Hornets, but instantly he was traded for, who was it? It was one of the Slovenians.
Somebody that Vlade, we don't remember, Vlade, right?
Yeah, something. No, I mean, you know him, Divac or something. I think it was Vlade Divac, if I remember correctly. Anyway, he went from the Hornets immediately out of that draft, to the Lakers, and that's where he stayed for the next 20 years. And so if you're a Suns fan or were a Suns fan at one point in your life, you know Kobe was one of those that gave us fits because he just did not let up. And specifically during the Nash era of the Suns, where we were actually playoff contenders and even championship contenders at some points, he was the one that was always there just saying, I don't think so. And we were so close many times, but in those playoff games, he would come in and just do damage. And so from the lens of a Suns fan, he was always the villain, but it was always a respectful hatred because he was good. He really was good and one of the best, if not the best. And that's always going to be an argument, right? You had Michael Jordan, you've got Kobe Bryant, and then
we got LeBron James.
Now we've got LeBron James, so the torch is kind of passing. And what's interesting is Kobe's last tweet was to LeBron James. I think it was last week because LeBron passed him in the overall point game, all-time points. And so Kobe had tweeted LeBron and just said, hey, glad you're moving the game forward, and handing off the torch, basically. Very respectful, you know. And think what you want about Kobe. I mean, I hated the guy in the sense of he was really good, and sometimes you just hate those guys because they're so good and there's nothing you can do about it. And he gave the Suns so much fits, but you had to respect him. And even in his personal life, he had some issues back in, I think, 2003 it was, when allegations came up of impropriety between him and another woman. And he was married at the time. I think he got married in, like, 1999, if I remember, to Vanessa Bryant is her name. I think they had four kids. As of yesterday, I think they had four kids. One of his daughters was with him in the helicopter, so she passed away as well. Mm-hmm. When they went down, she was 13 years old. And from what I've researched, she was quite the basketball star herself. She was really amazing and kind of an up-and-coming basketball player.
Yeah, they had, like, her coach and teammates on the helicopter with them.
Is that right? See, yeah. I hadn't heard who else was on there.
Yeah, it was
that's too bad.
Like a coach and his wife and her teammate, or which was their daughter.
I see. So, yeah, going to some sort of practice.
Right, another, like, one of her ball games.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, and so it's just a tragedy, you know. You hate to hear those things.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned before, he most likely probably had quite the pot of an estate when he passed away yesterday. The question becomes, what's going to happen with that stuff legally? I mean, he had mansions there in L.A., in the L.A. area. I'm sure he had homes in different areas throughout the United States, maybe even out of the country. I haven't done too much research into that portion, but I do know that he did have a large mansion in the L.A. area, obviously. A lot of the NBA stars will have real estate over here in Phoenix as well. They really like Phoenix. So I wouldn't be surprised if over the course of the next few weeks, as we learn more about what he had in assets, that he doesn't have property here in Arizona, because most of the NBA stars do. They just love the climate. They love the golf scene there in Phoenix. I mean, you've got Charles Barkley, you've got Michael Jordan. All of these guys, they flock to Phoenix because it's just a great vibe, and it's got a great golfing scene and beautiful weather. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe doesn't have some real estate as we learn more about his estate as time goes on. And maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know. Depending on what kind of estate plan he had, if any, I imagine he did. I mean, he was a very smart guy. He surrounded himself with smart business people. He had started different ventures over the course of his retirement.
But so was Prince. Prince.
Yeah.
You know, he was $500 million, didn't have any kind of plan.
Prince, he's an artist, you know, and enough said, right?
The artist.
The artist, yeah.
I had to.
Yeah, some people, you know, against better advice and those around them, some people surround themselves with vultures, some people surround themselves with good people that have good business sense, and I imagine Kobe was one of those that had good people around him. He wasn't a dummy, and I imagine most likely he had things all lined up and his affairs in order.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. And we're going to find out. I mean, that's the first thing that really happens is once you start finding out that this person has a pot of gold, then you see all these challenges to that. And
I read he was worth $770 million. That's pretty good considering he didn't make much more than that.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, half of that came from earnings from the NBA. The other half was from endorsements from the likes of like Nike.
He invested well to still have 770.
He started a couple companies after he retired in 2016, one of which was a competitor to Gatorade. So he was working on a beverage company, and I think it was in conjunction with Under Armour, if I remember correctly. So he had been involved in different things over the course of his retirement. And that's really what he was doing. He had charities. A lot of those guys have charities.
Hard to think retired at 41. But
isn't that crazy?
There he is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he retired at 37 and died at 41. It's just crazy to me. Crazy to me that he's gone, you know.
Yeah.
And he's one of those, as I was thinking about him this morning, he's one of those that you just have to say his first name and you know who the person is.
Right.
Kind of like Madonna, you know, that kind of stuff. He's reached that kind of status where you say Kobe, you know who you're talking about.
Right.
And it elicits some sort of feeling. Either I hate that guy or he's the best ever.
Depends if he played on your team.
Yeah, right?
Right.
And those in L.A., I mean, he was like a god because he was there for 20 years. And so in that area of California, he's just revered.
Right.
And rightfully so. He did a lot of good for them, a lot of championships and things like that. We've got to go to break again. We'll be back after this talking a little bit more of the legality of what goes on when a person passes away, such as Kobe, and what his wife that he left behind and the other kids might be facing in the weeks to come. We'll be right back after this. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey,
Yuma. Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and the home of Yuma's coolest indoor shooting range right next door. So you can shop and shoot in air-conditioned comfort. You can try before you buy, sight in your favorite firearm, or hone your skills. And the best part is, the Sprague's pros are right there to answer any questions or help you in any way. And of course, take your best shot with Federal Premium Ammunition. Since 1921, Federal Premium Ammunition has been a part of America's hunting and shooting landscape. Make every shot count with Federal Premium Ammunition. And don't forget, the used gun sale continues all week long. We're talking used rifles, shotguns, pistols, and much more. Selection changes all the time, so you never know what you're going to find. It's all good fun, the used gun sale. So a quick recap, the range is open. Don't forget the Federal Premium Ammunition, and the used gun sale continues through the week. And of course, there's only one place this could all be happening, at Sprague Sports, Yuma's Hunting and Shooting Headquarters, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark running the board, and then I've got Cody on the computer just double-checking that I'm telling you accurate facts, right? That's what you're supposed to be doing.
I'm at least backing up your inaccurate facts.
Perfect.
Yes.
Good. None the wiser. We were talking right before the break about the sudden death of NBA legend Kobe Bryant yesterday and how it's a shock around the world that he passed away at 41 years old. He left behind his wife and several kids. One of his daughters was on the flight with him in his personal helicopter as it went down yesterday in the L.A. area. And prior to the break, we talked about that amount of money that he had acquired over time. Russ, you mentioned a number over $700 million.
Yeah, I read $770 million is what they figured his net worth was.
I saw the article that I read was not so much what he had now, it was what he should have made over the course of those years.
Which was just a little more than that. So he did well with his investment.
Something like $680 million was what his projected amount
of
earnings should have been over the course of his career, 20 years in the NBA. Half of that coming from the NBA contracts with the Lakers, and then the other half coming from other outside endorsements like from Nike, Under Armour, different entities there as he went through his playing years. And near the end, he was kind of riddled with a lot of different injury issues, and his playing time went down after 20 years. I mean, that's going to happen. And he started really young. He was 18 in the NBA and right out of high school. I remember thinking this kid, he's just, you know, cocky. And he ended up being really, really good. And
anybody come out of high school and go play in the NBA.
So anyway, once he passed away yesterday, it leaves a question, well, what's going to go on with things that he leaves behind? I hope that everything's in order. I'm willing to bet that it is because of his business acumen, his savviness with business. He had started a couple businesses after he retired in 2016. And so I'm hoping that he surrounded himself with good people, and some of those good people hopefully told him, hey, Kobe, you've got to get your stuff in order. And that comes in the form of different entities. Now, he is off the charts when it comes to the typical person that has an estate when they pass away. Most of us die underneath the estate tax exemption level, which currently, after President Trump's passage of the tax plan in 2018, it rose to $11 million and change a person. So in a married couple situation, usually you can die with about $22 million without being subjected to some sort of estate tax issue when you pass away. Now, Kobe obviously is way above that, and his estate is going to have some tax issues, but with proper planning, hopefully they use the living trust in some form or fashion in different business entities like LLCs or corporations in order to mitigate those taxes. At this point, now his wife Vanessa is going to have to deal with some of those things, and that's something that you don't want her to have to deal with at this point in her life. I mean, right now the goal is to just reboot after the loss of her husband and her daughter, her 13-year-old daughter. And so the last thing she wants to think of is, now what do I do about the house mortgage, or about this, that, or the other, or what do I do about the finances? She needs to make sure, my hope is that she is well taken care of and she can focus on the loss that she just experienced. But oftentimes in my experience, people aren't able to do that because when they have a loved one pass away, maybe that loved one just didn't take time during their lifetime to put things in order in a way such that now they have to deal with all this stuff, whether those are debts that they leave behind or it's just a mess as to what do they want done with their remains. Do they want to be cremated? Do they want to be buried? Do they want to be buried in this particular cemetery? So there's a lot of issues that come up that a lot of us don't think of because we don't want to. It's not comfortable thinking of those things. But unfortunately, it happens to all of us. We're all going to hit that point someday where we're not around anymore and our loved ones are going to be left trying to figure out what we wanted. It's so much better if you have a plan outlined and in legal writing for them that helps them go through those times of turmoil. And that comes in the form of different legal entities or legal structures. Sometimes people will create a will thinking that, yeah, when I die, automatically my stuff is going to be transferred or given to those that I leave in my will. The reality is a will doesn't have any effect or authority until it actually is probated through a court process. It has to go through that court process in order to be verified and validated, and that process is time-consuming, it's expensive, it's very emotional. And so it's not a place that most people want their loved ones to be after they pass away. Most people nowadays, once they understand that, they will opt to create something called a living trust. And a living trust is a private entity that you can create to hold the title to your assets, whether that's a house, even with a mortgage, you can put your house in that living trust. Car titles, bank accounts, stocks, bonds, you name it. A living trust can hold your assets. And the idea there is that when you get sick or you die, the title transfer process, the legal process of transferring title from you to your beneficiaries doesn't have to go through a court process because you don't own your stuff. The trust owns it. And the trust didn't die. It just continues to live on. It's an entity. So it doesn't get sick. It doesn't die. But it has instructions and the legal authority to transfer assets to the beneficiaries that are named within it. And so many people will opt to create a trust, and oftentimes I'll hear, I don't have that much to create a trust, or it's too complicated for my simple situation. In reality, the trust is best for all of us, because if you have a car, if you have a bank account, if you have a house, the trust is the best way to transfer that asset to your loved ones or to the beneficiaries that you name. That doesn't have to be loved ones. Maybe you hate your loved ones. Maybe you hate your kids. I don't know. It can be a charity, it can be anything, but I use loved ones a lot because most of the time people have family members that they want to leave their stuff to if something were to happen to them. Now, in Kobe's case, he was well above that $22 million mark. So what's that going to look like? My hope is that he had savvy planning, estate planning, done by a good attorney over there in California that will allow his estate not to be subject to taxes at this point in time. Usually what will happen is I'll tell you what happens in the IRS's mind. When he passed away, the IRS says, whoa, he has a lot of money there and we want to tax it. He's over $22 million. He's this much over. Let's say he's $600 million over the $22 million allowable amount. So we want 45% of that $600 million. I don't know what the math is on that, but it's going to be somewhere around $300-something million. That's what they're going to want. And President Trump, the reason that he boosted that tax exemption back in 2018 to the $11 million mark was because what we were experiencing around the country was a lot of these family farmers that inherited their farm from generations past, maybe their grandfather or their great-grandfather got this land from the government.
They homesteaded it, maybe.
Homesteaded it, yeah, or they got these parcels from the government after they came back from the war kind of thing, and now they've been farming these things. Well, lo and behold, it might have had a nominal value back when Grandpa and Grandma received that land, but now that you've got a farming operation over the last 60 years, 70 years, that land value has increased to the millions and millions of dollars value. And what would happen is once an older farmer would pass away and his estate technically is worth more than that allowable amount, back during the Obama administration is $5.4 million. So obviously farmland is a lot, especially here in Yuma, I don't know if you're aware, but farmland, it's like gold, and it easily goes over $5.4 million, or used to, went back when that was the estate tax exemption level. So what was happening was these members of the family that were left after mom and dad or grandpa and grandma died, leaving behind farmland that was valued more than the estate tax exemption level, but not really a lot of cash, because all your cash goes in the production. You know, you're making you're farming, and so you've got the equipment, you've got the employees, you've got all the stuff that goes into growing those crops, harvesting, and then selling the crops. So oftentimes what would happen is when grandpa and grandma or mom and dad would die in that farming legacy, they had value over the estate tax exemption level. And so the IRS doesn't care. They say, hey, you've got $7 million worth of stuff here in this estate. You're only allowed to have $5.4 million without tax consequences, so we're going to tax that overage at 45%. You need to write us a check in cash for that overage, which oftentimes amounted to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, the kids didn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars cash to pay the IRS, so now they were forced to sell the farmland in order to pay the IRS tax bill. And so President Trump's goal of boosting that tax exemption level back in 2018 during the tax jobs cut was to allow for those family farms not to have to force the sale of a farm when mom and dad or grandpa and grandma died because of the IRS tax bill. And so he boosted it to $11 million. He doubled it, $11 million per person. And so that gave at least $22 million. After doing the research, it appeared that less than 0.00001 of American percent of Americans would have anything over $22 million when they died. And so it was a good sweet spot. He got that through the legislation back in that Jobs Act tax bill that he passed back in 2018. And so that was the whole reasoning for that. Well, and speaking about Kobe, he's well over even the $22 million amount. And so the way that we've typically done planning in the past to avoid the taxation at the first death is a special trust that's tied to something called an irrevocable life insurance trust. Now, this is really getting technical, and I don't want to get too technical today, but most likely Kobe had something set up like this where you buy during your lifetime a life insurance policy and you fund it. The premiums are going to be funded with cash that you give to this irrevocable life insurance trust. That we call it, for short, it's called an ILIT, I-L-I-T, an ILIT. And it holds the policy in it, and it just sits there until you pass away. And its sole purpose is to pay the taxes when you die if you're over the tax amount, the tax exemption amount. And so typically, but then this was used a lot back in the 90s because the tax exemption level was so low. So this is old style planning, but it's just got a new flavor of it. And most likely Kobe had something like this, where he had different trusts involved with being set up in order to pay any tax liability that he left behind because of his estate value was so high. It was over that estate tax exemption level. Now, we're lucky here in Arizona because Arizona doesn't have an estate tax. We chose not to do that. So we feel like it's bad public policy. But what we're talking about is a federal estate tax. And there is one, but there is that exemption of about $22 million when we're talking about a married couple. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as we come back. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Tune in each morning at 6 a.m. for America's Morning News, brought to you by Yuma International Airport. Fly Yuma and experience the convenience, comfort, short TSA lines, and multiple daily direct flights to Phoenix and Dallas-Fort Worth. Fly Yuma, and when you're home, you're home.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
It's Quachan Casino Resort's 11th year celebration cash giveaway. Just use your player's rewards card every time you play to earn entries. Then be here on Saturday, February 8th and 22nd, where one winner every 2 hours from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. will each win $11,000 cash. Quachan Casino Resort, 11 years of bringing you excitement, winnings, and the best entertainment in the region. Only at the Cube.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and the home of Yuma's coolest indoor shooting range right next door. So you can shop and shoot in air-conditioned comfort. You can try before you buy, sight in your favorite firearm, or hone your skills. And the best part is, the Sprague's pros are right there to answer any questions or help you in any way. And of course, take your best shot with Federal Premium Ammunition. Since 1921, Federal Premium Ammunition has been a part of America's hunting and shooting landscape. Make every shot count with Federal Premium Ammunition. And don't forget, the used gun sale continues all week long. We're talking used rifles, shotguns, pistols, and much more. Selection changes all the time, so you never know what you're going to find. It's all good fun, the used gun sale. So a quick recap, the range is open. Don't forget the Federal Premium Ammunition, and the used gun sale continues through the week. And of course, there's only one place this could all be happening, at Sprague Sports. Yuma's Hunting and Shooting Headquarters, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I am attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and then we've got Cody on the computer trying to keep us honest. And prior to the break, we were talking about the amount of wealth that Kobe Bryant had allegedly gained over the course of his career. He got half of his wealth from the NBA, the other half from different business ventures that he did, mostly through endorsements. And then when he retired in 2016, he created a few businesses as well, and they were doing well. I mean, they're on the up and up. And so when he died, allegedly, he probably had around over $680 million around the 700 million mark. And prior to the break, I mentioned that we're allowed to die with $22 million if you're married, $22 million without tax consequence. Well, obviously, he's well over that. So we've got about 670 million dollars that would be subjected to taxes, theoretically, at this point in time in his estate. And estate taxes are about 41-42%. And so what that means is that because he died with over the $22 million allowable amount, you've got $670 million that's going to be taxed by the IRS at about 41%. So you're talking about half of that. So $300 million is going to have to be paid to the IRS for taxes if Kobe didn't have good planning in place. And I mentioned before, back in the 90s when the estate tax exemption level was so low, we used different types of legal strategies to plan for this type of thing where you would die with more than you were allowed and you didn't want your estate to be taxed. We would use something called an irrevocable life insurance trust, or an ILIT is what it's called, and you would put a life insurance policy in there. It's owned by that trust, and you relinquish control of that, because what happens is once you do that, it's not part of your estate value when you die. So you would do an estimate as to, well, how much do I need in order to satisfy this tax bill that might remain when I die? I'm going to fund this ILIT with that insurance policy, and then I'm going to have the trust pay the premiums until I pass away. And so by doing that, that was a way to cover the tax bill when a person passed away, if they were over the exemption level. And so I imagine Kobe has some things like that, where he's got different legal entities that are designed to pay for either the taxes or to keep it within itself so it doesn't have to pay taxes, like business entities, corporations, LLCs. Those are good ways to keep money where they're subject to income tax, but not necessarily when you die. The estate tax issue might not be an issue if you can devalue that on a valuation form and satisfy the IRS that, oh, it was only worth, you know, $30,000. Nobody wants to get in business with my wife, Vanessa. That's what Kobe's argument would have been, or Vanessa's argument would have been. And so it's not as valuable as it could be, as if it was normal stock, for example. So that's a good way, is you devalue your business entity when a person dies, so that it doesn't go over that amount that's taxable.
Adam, so what if he was smart? What if he came to Arizona, he sat down with you and designed a trust? You know, I'm assuming a disclaimer trust, so it would split at the time of his passing.
Yeah.
But if he came to Arizona, there would be protection for the children. So, you know, they would have creditor protection. So that's something that they wouldn't get in California, but they would get over here, right?
In Arizona, we have the ability to draft a trust that says that when I die, all my stuff goes to my loved ones, for example. But not as individuals. We want to keep it going for the legacy purpose, let's say. And so that individual will receive it in what we call a subtrust, and that subtrust has ultimate creditor protection for that individual. So that child or that loved one, if they get sued or they're going through a divorce or they have some sort of issue happening in their life, once their share is funded in their particular subtrust, they can receive creditor protection and still control that particular trust as their own trustee, their own manager. They can do whatever they want with it, but their creditors can't get in. Now, there are some times when you don't want your loved one to actually get into that box either, that subtrust, and so you name a third party trustee or manager to manage that. Maybe it's for a time, maybe it's until that person turns 25 or 30 or 35, or maybe you want them to dole it out in chunks to that person, or maybe it's an income that you want them to provide. So every person is unique, and those that I deal with when I do planning, I'll ask them questions such as, well, how is this person doing in life? How are their life decisions? Do they have issues with drugs and alcohol? Do they have issues with a current spouse or with divorce? Or do they have issues with health such that they're receiving state benefits like Medicaid benefits or disability? All these things are relevant when we're talking about leaving your stuff to that individual. You don't want them to go out and blow everything that you leave to them. You worked your lifetime to acquire this stuff, and just to leave it to them to just waste is probably not what most people want. And so there's different ways to protect that share for that person, or not only from themselves, but from other creditors as well. So in Kobe's case, had he come to my office we would have designed an Arizona trust that works in California, that works anywhere in the United States, that would have protected his wife, protected his little kids, because all of his kids were minors, and they each would have had protections that protect them for the rest of their lives from any creditors that came at them, whether that's through a divorce or through a lawsuit or through some other means. And in the case of his wife, Vanessa, we probably would have built in some sort of provisions, and we would have asked this at the time that we were going through this process. But what happens if one of you dies first? Do we need remarriage? Do we need to think about remarriage issues?
Yeah.
What happens if Vanessa now goes and gets remarried to another NBA star or to somebody else, and now she has all this wealth that her husband Kobe acquired or brought into this marriage, and now Vanessa says, well, I don't want my kids to get any of it. I want my new husband's kids to get it, or I want this charity to get it, and she completely diverts that money. And maybe Kobe had different ideas for that money before he died. So these issues all become relevant in that initial sit-down where I talk to the client and I ask, well, what's really important to you? How do you want this to play out? And I'll throw out scenarios that most people don't think about so that we can fine-tune their particular plan. And in Kobe's case, it would have been very intense. I mean, the planning that we did for him would have been very, very complex because of the amount of wealth that we needed to protect from taxes and from creditors. And so it would have included a lot of different structures, the main base being a living trust like most of us can get, just your basic living trust. That's going to do the heavy lifting. But there's going to be pieces that you plug into that main nucleus that are going to allow the family not to have to pay taxes or to mitigate those taxes. That's the goal. And still protect everything for Vanessa's use.
So could she avoid the high estate tax threshold by splitting the trust today? Or would she still be over that amount and still have to pay some taxes?
So a common strategy that we use is you say, well, at the death of the first spouse, this trust is going to split up. It's going to split up into either two separate trusts or three. And in this case, this would be what we call an ABC trust. So there would be, it splits up into three boxes. The first box would be dedicated to Vanessa, Kobe's wife, and it's a box that can hold up to $11.3 million, and she can do whatever she wants with that. She has complete control of that. The second box would be dedicated to Kobe, and it would have $11.3 million in it as well, of value. And then the third box would have anything over that $11.3 million threshold. And it's kind of like a little
catch-all.
Yeah. And that box is the one that has the unlimited marital deduction.
Mm.
And so we would need to get at least $11.3 million into a different trust at Kobe's death. And that will protect them from paying taxes. Any of the overage, which is going to be a lot, you're talking about $670 million, would have to flow into the C box, the C trust, for complete marital protection and unlimited deduction. So it doesn't matter the value in that box. It's going to be protected from taxes until Vanessa dies. So now Vanessa's in the position of dealing with that $670 million. It's going to be tax-free right now at the first death because if they had this structure in place, it's going to be tax-free. But now her goal is to look for different ways to protect that big pot that's sitting in the C box, that unlimited marital deduction box. She's got to figure out a way to do different entities like irrevocable trusts and things like that in order to mitigate the tax liability when she dies, because she's only allowed $11.3 million right now when she dies. So there's different strategies that we can use to do that, but we are definitely out of time to explain them. But this has been a great show. We'll talk to you next week, next Monday. This is Life, Death, and the Law, KBLU, 560 AM. We'll be back next Monday.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
from the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.